Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. As promised, Jason Everett, our guest this hour, the founder of Chastity.com and well-known and much-loved Chastity speaker and a man who has helped many, many people, along with his wife, Kristalina, helped many, many people find the joys of the Christian faith and the fullness of life that awaits those who follow Christ in his practice of chastity. You may know some of his books, Pure Love, Raising Pure Teens, How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul. And now he's got a new book out that I mentioned last hour, Male, Female, Other, A Catholic Guide to Understanding Gender. Jason Everett, thank you very much for being here with us.
It's good to be back on.
You were in World Youth Day in Portugal. Tell us a little bit about what happened over there.
Yeah, no, it was terrific. I got to lead a pilgrimage of 350 teens and family members. We had a bunch of seminarians as well, college students from all over, from Singapore, Canada, America. So Krista Fanick and I led that group over there and then joined up with 1.5 million of my closest friends in Lisbon and Fatima. And it was just a fantastic experience.
I've never been to one of these World Youth Days. I don't even know what, like, it's a million and a half people for mass. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's a good Sunday mass. That's a What is that
it's
like?
Well, it's a beautiful thing to see, especially for the young people, I think, who often feel like they're the outliers and they're kind of the odd man out at their school or university. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a 1.5 million people of every tribe and nation and language and tongue singing. And just it's just a beautiful experience for the kids to witness just the universality of the Catholic Church.
I wonder why it is, you probably have a view on this, but why, if you get a million and a half young people together, they behave themselves and they have a beautiful time, they don't destroy anything, and there's no rock star there, it doesn't get reported like if you had another Woodstock.
I mean, could you imagine if 1,500 teenagers showed up in the Vatican to protest something?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be all over the news.
That's
but
so
you
funny,
1.5 million showing up to have Mass with the Holy Father, and it's not even a blip on the media.
No, it's just like, it's like it barely makes the news. And
yeah,
well, I suppose that's our culture, and that's just the way it's structured. Hey, if you've got questions about chastity, maybe you're trying to encourage your own children, maybe you're trying to live the chaste life yourself, maybe you would just like some information, you're very welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I mentioned your new book on the gender book, Male, Female, Other, and you were just in Green Bay, Wisconsin, doing an in-service there on the theme of that book.
Yeah, it was really encouraging to see the bishop and the superintendent out there mandated that all of their teachers and catechists have to come and sit in while I do presentations for about 4 hours on the topics of gender, same-sex attractions. Then we did a Q&A session. We had Mass with them. But, you know, so many of these teachers, God bless them, they're kind of thrown to the wolves in a sense that, okay, here I'm at the school and I've got a seventh grader who identifies as non-binary and the parents want me to use this or that pronoun. What do we do? You know, and then they go to the principal. What's the policy? It's like, I don't know. We don't have a policy. Ask the pastor. I don't know. Like, nobody went to seminary to learn how to offer pastoral care to adolescents who identify as they, them. Like, and so everybody's just kind of scrambling for answers on how to give a response with clarity and charity at the same time. Because clearly you've got a young person that's distressed, a family that's going through something difficult, and you don't want to alienate them from the faith for the rest of your life, their life, but you don't want to compromise on what the church teaches. And so how do you present that? And so that's what the day was. And so it was just really encouraging, having some great conversations afterwards. And, you know, it's not just a professional issue, it's a personal one. I mean, some of them approached me and said, hey, this is going on in my own house. You know, I'm separated from, you know, my spouse, and he's wanting to let the kid transition, and he's trying to get child custody. And what do we do? And so, you know, it's not just a professional issue. It's personal. A lot of people at this point have a nephew, a niece, or somebody, and we're all looking for solid answers.
888-318-7884 is the number here. 888-318-7884. Your question, welcome, for Jason Everett. I want to follow up though with the, I mean, one of the things that we hear about is public school teachers, Catholic public school teachers, they're not sure that they can stay in their, you know, in whatever situation they're in, because there's so much pressure in this regard. Did the Catholic school teachers express a sense that they're getting a lot of cultural and social pressure?
Well, I met a lot of the Catholic school teachers actually are kind of refugees from the public school system.
Yeah.
That they just felt they couldn't in good conscience do what the school is telling them to do. You need to have this read aloud to your kids explaining. And a lot of these books that are being presented in the public school system are kind of entering into this Trojan horse of tolerance. Well, we need to help these kids to not bully each other. Okay, well, all right, I'm on board. Nobody should be bullied. But instead of just promoting tolerance, they're promoting transgenderism. And so the teacher's like, hey, I'm all on board with not bullying anybody based on who they're attracted to or their gender sense of identity. But to the point where we're actually teaching the kids and pushing it out, I can't do it anymore. And so we're finding a lot of these solid people coming to the Catholic Church so they can really teach the fullness, you know, of what God planned for human beings to be.
And you do one thing that I always get from you when I hear you speak about these things is that you're not avoiding the person who, you know, the teen or the young adult who is expressing transgender feelings themselves or struggling with that. You're embracing that person. And I actually think that's the way to go. And it allows you to not succumb to a kind of judgmentalism, but to really genuinely be charitable, loving in this.
Yeah, I was speaking at a university and they were letting me know, okay, just give you a heads up, but we've heard, you know, some rumors that the Spectrum Alliance on campus is going to come and have a protest across the street from the church in anticipation of your presentation coming up, you know, this week. And I'm like, well, hey, like, send them an invitation. Tell them we'll reserve seats for them. They don't need to stand outside. It's Louisiana. It's hot. Like, let them come on in. We'll have seats for them and we'll go out afterwards. I'll buy them dinner and like, we'll get to know each other. And so, you know, that's my approach of like, okay, we don't need to be screaming at each other. Hey, why don't you come and listen to me? And then I'll take you out to dinner and I'll listen to you. Like, let's get beyond this paradigm of like, we hate each other and let's just sit down, have a dialogue and learn from each other.
Did anybody take you up on it or no?
No, what the university said is like, okay, well, we're going to look into this, see if it actually is going to happen. And if it is, then we'll try your approach. But if we can get past this event without any big protest, we'd rather do that. So they tried to fly under the radar. But I said, hey, if it comes to be, tell them the doors are wide open. They're welcome to come on in.
The number here, 888-318-7884. So when you get that parent who says to you, my child, I don't know, you know, mid-teens or maybe early teens or young adult, my child is talking about transitioning. My child is talking about being non-conforming in one way or another, you know, as far as being, there's so many terms and you know them all, and I'll embarrass myself if I try to say too many of them, and I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't like doing that. So, but you understand, like the parent whose child comes with this dilemma in their life, what do you say to the parent?
Yeah, I remember hearing of a mom recently and her daughter came to her and said, Mom, I'm non-binary and my pronouns are they, them. And the mom's like, all right, well, they need to go clean their room. All right. And then she just moved on. The kid's like, wait a minute. Like, I'm looking for, you know, and that's not the best approach. It's just kind of like
funny, though.
And move on with life and go along with it. But I would say that first conversation is kind of critical. That you want, what you want to say to your kid is, thank you for telling this to me. I'm sure that was probably really hard for you to open up about this because this is probably something that's been brewing in you for quite some time and you've probably been afraid to talk to me out of fear that if you disclose this to me, I'd get angry at you and I'd yell at you or I'd make fun of you and tell you're just making it up and it's just a phase and I'm just going to punish you. Tell me, like, when did you start feeling this way? You know, what kind of triggers the dysphoria? Where are you learning about this from? Are some of your friends wrestling with this too? Like, this first conversation, they need to walk away like, okay, they heard me. They took me seriously. They didn't freak out at me. They didn't punish me. They didn't shame me. They didn't condemn me to hell. They want to hear. They want to walk with me in this. Because one of the greatest indicators of the long-term well-being of a person who's looking to transition is the relationship they have with their family. And so you want to try to keep that bridge intact. Instead of just trying to win a debate, like this is just going to be a sprint to the finish line, this could be a bit of a marathon. And you don't want to beat yourself up at the parent. What did I do wrong? I could have done this. I should have done that. Don't even go there. I mean, the best parent in the universe is God the Father. And now look at how messed up all of his kids are down here. Okay. Like, we have free will. We do dumb things. And sometimes your kids' choices aren't always a reflection of you being a deficient parent. I mean, look, Thérèse of Lisieux is a canonized saint. Her mom, canonized saint. Her dad, canonized saint. her sister got kicked out of Catholic boarding school 3 times for behavioral problems. So finally got her act together when she's 37, became a nun, but took a bit of a detour. So don't beat yourself up. Try to listen to your kid. Try to gather where they're getting this information from, because for a lot of them, they're spending massive amounts of time on Tumblr, on Instagram, on Snapchat, like taking in these TikTok videos of trans influencers. And they've got a couple of kids at the local public high school who also identify as trans or non-binary. Where are they getting the content from? Who's influencing them down this path? And instead of just saying, no, you will wear a pink dress with pink bows to church on Sunday, it's like, okay, if this is causing them a ton of distress, don't try to just shove it down their throat. Walk with them, because sometimes if you just dig your heels in, they're going to dig theirs in, of just like, okay, you want to take away my identity, you want to take away my community, you want to take our mission away from us. No. Whereas it's like, okay, tell me more. And then when you're listening to what they're sharing, maybe they'll listen to you. Well, hey, well, I saw this video of a girl named Chloe Cole who's detransitioning. Can you maybe watch her video and I'll watch your video? And kind of, so that way we're walking together, sharing information, not punishing and freaking out. And I think what the study shows, 80 to 95% of the time, when a kid is experiencing gender dysphoria, they will naturally come to identify with their biological sex by the end of adolescence, typically 80 to 95% of the time. And so don't freak out and think you got to get it all figured out in that first conversation. Let them know you hear them, that you love them, and that you're not going to abandon them because they're struggling with this.
That's why we are always so happy when Jason Everett is available to do the show with us. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with calls for Jason. But it doesn't have to be on the – we did talk by my choice about the transgender stuff, but you can talk about anything having to do with chastity, if you have anything having to do with maybe it's a struggle for you, someone you know, maybe you'd like to be able to help your children, whatever it is. Jason Everett here to take your questions, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Enjoying some very good Monday conversation today. You are welcome to get in on it. Questions, comments, let us all welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. As I mentioned last hour, and I am going to mention again, Scott Hahn coming for our big conference in just a few weeks. I Believe in God is the conference. Our keynote speaker will be Sister Regina Marie Gorman. I'd come just to hear her, but Scott Hahn will be there, Francis Beckwith, Father Paul Check, Logan Gage is going to be there from Franciscan University in Steubenville, Dale Alquist will be there, and then all of our apologists will be there. We'll do the radio show live, and we'll If it's true to form, we'll just have a great time, and we'd love it if you'd come. Just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. It's September 21st through 24th right here in San Diego, and we'd love it if you'd come. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Our guest is Jason Everett. Jason, I'm ready to go to calls if you're ready to go to calls.
Let's roll.
All right, let me give out that number again, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We start in North Carolina, where Chris is watching on YouTube. Chris, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Jason Everett.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I know that this October, the Synod of Bishops, I heard and read that one of the things that they were going to talk about was the LGBTQ, stuff related to the church. And I guess this just kind of got me nervous a little bit. That wasn't the only reason why I left the Episcopal Church, but it was one of the reasons why. And so I was just wanting to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, to be totally honest with you, it is worrisome sometimes when you hear some of the discussions floating around and certain proposals, you know, specifically by some of the German bishops of like, hey, we need to go in this direction or that direction. What gives me peace through the midst of all of this is knowing that the stability of the church does not rest upon me or the priests or the bishops or even the Pope. It rests upon the promise of Christ, who said, you, Peter, are a rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. And so our peace always needs to be in him. He started this church, because if it were up to us, man, we would have burned this thing to the ground a long time ago. It would not be up and running after 2,000 years. And so although we are going to obviously have some lay people and priests and bishops and whoever kind of promoting a different agenda, teaching a false anthropology, in the end, Christ is going to preserve his church in the fullness of the truth. And so, you know, what's reassuring is you look at some of the statements put out by Pope Francis in his encyclical on the environment. He talks about an ecology of the human body. And what he's talking about there is we have to respect creation as good stewards of it, not just the rainforests and not, you know, just polluting in that way, but we need to respect the ecology of our own bodies as male and female. And that's just part of accepting the givenness of our sexual identity. He's talked about transgender ideology, and gender theory is one of the most dangerous ideologies out there. And he talks about it as ideological colonization, where you have in particular Western cultures imposing this upon developing nations, oftentimes tied to foreign aid, saying, hey, we're not gonna give you the money for education to build these new buildings unless you're going to be teaching gender theory to your kids. And Pope Francis has specifically called out these instances and saying, no, you're imposing this false anthropology on these other people, and it's wrong. And so thanks be to God, I think Francis has been an outspoken critic of gender theory. And so in the end, thanks be to God, we have the promise of Christ that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. And it's important also in that passage to remember that it doesn't say that hell will not prevail against the gates of the church. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the distinction there is gates are defensive structures. Like, nobody gets attacked by a gate. It is the church that is on the offensive, hell that has the gates that won't prevail against the church. And so to keep in mind, the Holy Spirit's in charge here. And even though there is some kooky stuff going on in terms of what's getting proposed by this cleric or that bishop, in the end, the faith is not going to be polluted. So.
That helps. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. That's what we wanted to hear. I'm glad that it helps, Chris. God bless you. Thank you very, very much for the call. Jason Everett is our guest. Your call is welcome. 888-318-7884. We go now to Shelley in Ohio, listening on Holy Family Radio. Shelley, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Jason.
Hi. Thank you so much. Hi, Si. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Shelley.
My question is, looking for the best advice. My husband and I have two young daughters, almost three and almost one. And, of course, we want to raise them the very best we can. And you know, in the world we live in today, what would be your best advice to, you know, solidify them as a daughter of God, you know, affirm them in their femininity, and also, what can we do now when they're at such a young age, to protect them and help them grow as daughters of Christ?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like, well, hey, you know, when it's prayer time, maybe at night with the girls, you know, thank you, Jesus, for making so-and-so a girl. Thank you so may she grow up to be a strong woman of God, that you're kind of affirming the givenness of their sexual identity. You're praising them for that and just thanking God for that, so that it's really a positive thing. So that's, I think, helpful when they're super young. There are books that you could get, like called The Princess and the Kiss, that introduce them to the gift of purity, not in terms of the birds and the bees, disease stuff, but just God's gift of purity and being a woman. So Princess and the Kiss is a great little storybook you could read to little girls. As they get a little older, get into adolescence, there's a ministry called Natural Womanhood. It looks secular, but it's all Catholics on the inside, teaching fertility awareness methods. And they're actually just coming out with a mother-daughter kind of puberty fertility thing where you can watch these videos with your daughter as she's going into that stage of development and teaching her wonder and awe for the gift of what God has created her body to be. Instead of seeing it as something just weird and awkward and uncomfortable, it's like, hey, let's walk through this together and learn to have reverence for the givenness of our sexuality in our bodies. And so that's when they're a little, I mean, you're still about a decade away from needing that one, but just to keep that in the back of your mind. But honestly, I think the best thing that you can do to raise these strong daughters is go on dates with your husband. Like, just show them a strong, happy marriage, because that's what they have to compare things to. And if they see your husband treating you with reverence and respect, and you wanting to go on dates with him and treating him with reverence and respect, they'll learn, okay, that's the bar, that's the standard, because why would I settle for less than what this is? I remember one girl, or no, it was the dad telling me one day her daughter, and just, yeah, gave his daughter his big old hug. And then he just says, and he looked over his shoulder and says, Maggie, and he hugged the mom and he said, all I want for you is one day you can find a man who loves you as much as I love your mother. And for her, it was like, okay, case closed. I don't need the philosophy, the theology. Like, I know what it's supposed to look like. And so I'm going to keep the bar up here, because why would I settle for some guy who wants to use me when I know what real love is supposed to look like? And so I would say, go on marriage retreats with your spouse if you can. Don't wait until the car's broken down to take it into the shop. Get it that routine maintenance that you're going on retreats, going on dates. And just for the kids to see that, I think is more valuable than any book or any curriculum you could ever hand them.
That is awesome. I love the advice and those resources, and that makes me smile. Thank you so much.
Okay, keep up the great work.
Shelley, thank you for the call. I just want to ask you something, if you've got a second. Are all parents of young kids worried about this now? Because I think maybe the cultural messaging is so powerful that it's making parents nervous as parents. Is that your sense, Shelley?
A little bit. I think the support, around you makes, a big difference. And so I'm very thankful for the loved ones that we have who are strong in their faith and are good examples to our young ones. We're from a small town and a Catholic community, but the society in general, the things that we see and hear, and it's a little bit scary, and we want to just to make sure that we stay on the right track.
Yeah, and it's really good that you'd mentioned the fellowship and the community. It's so important for your kids eventually to have friends who have parents who have the same values you do. So they see they're not the only kid in the country with a curfew. They're not the only teenager whose parents want to know what they're doing on their cell phones. And so to me, that's one of the biggest things that's been helpful for us, is finding local Catholic schools, communities, youth groups where our kids don't feel alone, that, I'm able to bring them to World Youth Day and they're able to see a million other teenagers emphatically living out their faith. And so it can be real easy for families as well as teens to think, man, I'm the odd one out. This is so lonely. So the more you guys can fellowship with solid other Catholic parents, then the kids grow up together. It's so much easier to hold fast to the faith.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, thank you, Shelley. God bless you and your family. What a beautiful call, and it sounds like a beautiful family. Before I go back to callers, I do want to ask you, because we tend to go in one direction as a show, and the transgender stuff and the LGBTQ and all that is fine to talk about, but one of the big problems we have is the damage that's being done to families by pornography, and you do a lot of work in that. I want to just give you a minute to tell us, a young man or woman, maybe older man or woman, listening, who's struggling with that, what kind of help can you offer them?
Yeah, well, one of the things is make sure that you're approaching this in a truly human way. What I mean by that is that we're not just souls. A lot of times we think, okay, I just got to go to confession, then a confession again, and confession again, and confession again, or just rosary after rosary. And obviously, you can't underestimate the power of the sacraments and the sacramentals. That's an essential piece of the battle. But it's not just spiritual. It's not just theological. It's psychological. It's physiological. It's emotional. It's relational, because you're an entire human person. So if you're sitting there trying to bust out rosary after rosary, but you're only getting like 4.5 hours of sleep per night, you're not eating healthy, you're not exercising, like, good luck. Like, I don't care whether you're doing all the religious stuff in the world. If you're not taking care of your body, the temptations are going to seem so much stronger. Now, this isn't to say if you're hitting the gym 6 days a week, getting 8 hours of sleep in, and you're eating healthy, that all the temptations are going to go away. Obviously they won't, but we've got to make sure we're shoring up all of our defenses in these areas. So physically, you're taking care of yourself. Spiritually, take care of yourself. Emotionally, relationally, is there a need for counseling? Are there wounds that you might be living out of that could need healing? And so take some time to think. And are we getting the music in the background?
Yeah, we got
it. Okay, so we'll jump to the commercial here.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Jason Everett on Catholic Answers Live. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, talking with Jason Everett. Chastity.com is where you can find out all about what Jason does. The latest book is the book that we need right now, and I'm sure that's why it's getting lots and lots of attention. It's called Male, Female, Other? ? And you can get that wherever they sell books, probably. And Jason has written a whole bunch of books, including How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul, very, very popular, and a book that's been very helpful to people, Pure Love, Raising Pure Teens, Chastity.com, check it out. We were talking just before we went to the break about, you were saying, as you often are, you were being quite sane about struggles with pornography and saying it's got to be a whole human person answer. It can't just be pray your way out of it.
Yeah, for sure. I just did a podcast a few weeks ago with a guy named Jay Stringer. Now, he's not Catholic. He's an evangelical pastor and therapist. And for his master's thesis, what he did is he studied 4,000 people who are struggling with sexual addiction and basically looked at their online search history of what type of stuff they were seeking out on the internet. And then he kind of did some type of assessment of them, of their struggles, their traumas, their wounds in life and their upbringing. And he was able to discover these templates of addictions that if you're seeking out this genre of pornography, odds are you may be coming from a family that was very authoritarian and rigid with a lot of shame. If you're seeking out this stuff, it's probably an indication your mother was very distant from you. If you're seeking out this stuff, the sign of, and he was able to create these templates that people were falling into. And his thesis behind all of this, you should have him on the show. We had him on our podcast, Lust is Boring, but it was fascinating. He explained that a lot of times people treat their unwanted behaviors and desires and addictions like it's the problem. And he said, I would recommend a more compassionate approach on yourself of realizing that these desires are actually a roadmap towards your healing, not for the sake of indulging in it, but what is this desire telling me about myself? What is it promising me that it's going to fulfill? Because a lot of times we're living out of these wounds. And in a sense, I remember talking to Dr. Bob Schutz, who's fantastic, runs the John Paul II Healing Center. He said, a lot of times there's this wound at the roots. And out of this wound, if it's not healed, it could be trauma, it could become neglect or whatever. Out of this wound grows lies of like, you're not enough, you're not a man, you don't deserve love, you're a failure, you're a sinner, whatever is coming out of this.
Right.
And then out of that stem, so to speak, then the fruit blooms of this, of these addictions and self-harm behaviors or whatever it may be. And that gets all of the attention, but that's just the fruit of the tree. The stem of it are the lies, and the lies are rooted in trauma that's often unhealed or just different wounds we're living out of. And so we can spend all day cutting those fruits off, but they're going to be back in 2 weeks. And that's just sin management. That's just kind of like white knuckling it through this. What we've got to do is have enough compassion to learn what's the deeper story. Like, why is it on earth that I'm craving this thing that obviously doesn't satisfy me? Because the more I indulge in it, the greater the desires become, and the quicker I need to act out. And then the more shameful I feel afterwards. It just becomes this endless cycle. And so Jay Stringer does a great job of just encouraging us to have a little bit more mercy on ourselves, discover what these desires are telling us about ourselves. So if we're taking this approach and we're getting enough sleep, enough exercise, we have fellowship. If you're a girl struggling with it, realize you're not a freak of nature if you're a female and you have temptations. This is a human problem, not just a guy thing. And you start to address it from a more human perspective and you have that accountability, I find that we're going to make a lot more progress instead of just trying to white knuckle it through the temptations.
Oh, man, what a beautiful take. And wait, man, when you were talking about that wound, I'm thinking about the man who comes to Jesus and said, I know if you will it, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I do will it, be healed. Yeah. And that's really what he wants to say to us. I do will it, be healed.
Yeah. And he asks, you know, some of these people he heals, like, what do you want? You know, it's like, dude, I'm blind. What do you think I want? Like, why are you asking me what I want? Like, you know, but it's amazing that Christ, like, no, I want to hear you say, you know, what it is you want. And a lot of times in these wounds, the addictions, Christ is asking that question, what do you want? Like, what do you really want? It's not some erotic moment with a laptop. I remember hearing of one guy, a Christian fellow, struggling with all this stuff. And he finally opened up to another Christian guy in the community. And everybody thought he had it all put together, good family man, man of faith. And he said, I'm a mess. You know, I've been cheating on my wife. I'm looking at pornography. I'm going to strip clubs. And this guy said to him, well, you know, if what you really want to do is look at pornography and do all that stuff, well, just go ahead and do it. And the guy's like, what? You know, he knew this guy was an upstanding Christian. Like, what? No. And he said, no, if what you really want to do is look at pornography and do it, just go ahead and do it. And the guy kind of slammed his fist on the desk and said, no, that's not what I really want. And the other guy just smiled at him and said, exactly. And for the other guy, it was this watershed moment. Like, wait a minute, maybe I'm not totally deprived and depraved. Maybe there is this current running deep in me that craves for something better than all of these pacifiers. And I need to tap into what that deeper craving is, or that deeper wound that needs healing. And so it's a matter of really asking the Holy Spirit to kind of take the blinders off so we can see what these things are, and then inviting Christ to enter into those dark places.
Praise God. Check out chastity.com if you would like more of that kind of information and help. I'm going to go to Mark in Madison, Wisconsin, listening on EWTN.com. Mark, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Jason Everett.
Hi, I have a very good friend of mine that I work with. We're in the healthcare field. And her child's a freshman in high school and is transitioning and has just started injections. And I am beside myself and would like to socialize with this person and have them into my home. But I don't know that I can do that now. I've given them the person and identity project workshop. I've tried to bring them back into the faith with no avail. And we live in Madison, which is like ground central for this type of thinking in the school system and in the healthcare system.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's understandable there in Madison, because my understanding is that the UW-Madison, it's mandatory for their college students to take an entire semester of gender theory. It doesn't matter if you're in secondary education, engineering, or nursing, you've got to sit in a semester, because they want to indoctrinate the students in this ideology no matter what field of professional work they're going into. And so with regard to your friend, I would say, do you have kids at home? That's a concern if they come over to the house, that it could be kind of really confusing. Using the kids, or would it just be you there?
No.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if we are condoning the sin that's occurring.
No, I don't think you are. I mean, the reason I mentioned the kids is, like, obviously your primary responsibility is the innocence of your own kids. And if you feel bringing others in could be condoning it or, you know, confusing the kids, then their primary responsibility is them. But if that's not an issue, no, I mean, look at who Christ was having lunch with and dinner with: tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, you name it. He was dining with them. And that was not saying, okay, I endorse the way you collect taxes, I endorse the prostitution you're doing. It's like, no, why would you listen to me if I was unwilling to be a part of your life? And so I would try to build that bridge, to spend time in that person's life. And then gradually, maybe they'd be willing to consider, because this parent probably wants what's best for that kid and is thinking, oh, well, if I don't help this kid transition, and I don't know if they're doing Lupron with the puberty blockers or whether the injection you're mentioning is like testosterone, whether this is cross-sex hormones or puberty blockers, but regardless, the data is overwhelmingly clear how harmful this is. I mean, if we're talking puberty blockers, I mean, for one, you're not just blocking the puberty, you're blocking their bone development. We've got like 15-year-old kids now with osteoporosis from being on this stuff. You're blocking their neurological development. And almost 100% of the time when you put a kid on puberty blockers, they go on to cross-sex hormones. It's not a pause button on puberty. It's a fast-forward button to cross-sex hormones. And then that sterilizes the kid for the rest of their life. And if the girl goes on the testosterone, her risk of heart disease quadruples. She'll have to have her hysterectomy, have her uterus removed within 5 years because the increased risk of endometrial cancer. This is the stuff these parents don't get taught. They think, well, if you don't affirm your kid's gender identity, then they're going to commit suicide. What they don't tell them is if you actually put them on puberty blockers, they're more likely to self-harm after going on puberty blockers. And then by the time after they've had the surgery, the girls who transition to male or non-binary have a suicide rate 40 times as high as the general population. Because what we're doing at this point is contributing to a mental illness instead of actually treating it. And so if you go to our website, chastity.com/gender, you are going to find a whole page full of links, blogs, articles, detransitioner websites, all kinds of resources I'd encourage you to become familiar with. So that way you're able to, hey, maybe this person would be open to watching this interview that Jordan Peterson did with Chloe Cole, or maybe looking at the Peak Resiliency Project, which is a group of detransitioning girls that are kind of screaming from the rooftop, this was not the answer for us, and it's not the answer for you. And so all that is at chastity.com/gender. But no, please don't do the leprosy approach with this person. You go on that side of the road, I'll walk on this side. No, you walk over to their side. You spend time with them. You love on them. And maybe they won't listen to you right now, but maybe the friendship will be in a different place in 2 years if you don't let go. So hold on to one hand with your hand. Hold on to the other hand of theirs. Hold on to one hand to them, one hand to reality. And don't let go of either one of those hands.
Mark, I'm going to say thanks and leave it there. We have to take a quick break. Your call's welcome for Jason Everett, 888-318-7884. Right back with more talk about chastity. And we've talked about quite a few other things as well today, LGBTQ issues and transgender issues, whatever is the issue you'd like to discuss. You're welcome, 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal
absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray. At some point, our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. There's actually lines open if you want to talk with Jason Everett. You're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe there is in your life a struggle with chastity or similar issues that you'd like to talk with Jason about. That's very welcome. 888-318-7884. Maybe there's a family member or friend that you'd like to help, or maybe you would just like some information that would be helpful to you, whether as a teacher or a minister or whatever else you're engaged in. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Up next, we go to Des Moines, Iowa. Sabrina is in Iowa watching on YouTube. Sabrina, thanks very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Jason Everett.
Okay, so I'm basically just wondering how I should interact in college right now, because I have a lot of classmates that are like LGBT and like pro-abortion and death penalty, stuff like that, and I'm in like a sociology, psychology class where I'm going to have to like speak towards the positive side of those things, and I don't really know how to navigate that.
Great. Well, thank God that he's got you there, you know, because a lot of these people won't hear another viewpoint presented in an articulate and charitable way. And so in order for you to kind of shore up your responses, because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but like I've had these, whether it's pro-life or chastity conversation with someone, and afterwards, like, oh, I wish I said this instead of that, or oh, I could have said this. And it kind of, you ruminate over it after a while. That's why it's so good to have these conversations, because the best way to learn is by teaching. And a lot of times by these failed teaching opportunities, you start to think, oh yeah, next time I'm gonna try to do this. So sources you're gonna wanna look at. One is, I know Trent Horn's got some good pro-life stuff that's available there at Catholic.com. But then in terms of pro-life apologetics, I'd recommend the work of Lila Rose with Live Action. Watch some of her videos. I mean, this is a sharp, compassionate, brilliant, courageous woman that will be on like the CNN and the mainstream media to debate these tough issues. And, you know, people will say, well, what about rape, Lila? What about that? And she'll just be blunt. She'll say, look, rape, you know, abortion does not unrape a woman. It just causes further trauma to her after she's already suffered enough. And so you're going to be come up with these articulate replies by watching people like Lila Rose explain her positions in terms of kind of the gender stuff. We do have the book Male, Female, Other, Catholic Guide to Understanding Gender. And that's divided into 18 chapters that answer the top claims being made by gender theorists, such as, well, some people have an intersex brain. Or what about disorders of sexual development? Or what about, you know, the Westerners colonizing this concept of gender? So your gender studies professors or classmates, especially in sociology, are going to have some claims that you're going to be like, whoa, I have not heard that before. I don't know how to debate that. So gather the information and then get your sources. So my book, I think, would be helpful for the gender topic, but stuff by Trent Horn, stuff by Lila Rose is going to give you really solid pro-life apologetic stuff. Because, you know, and stay cheerful through it and loving through it. That, because your answer is really coming from love. The reason you don't think people should try to surgically and socially and chemically transition is because you love them and this is harmful to them. And the reason you're pro-life is because of love. The reason you practice chastity is because of love. And so in all these hot button issues, try to make sure to wed this virtue of charity and love to the topic at hand, instead of letting them try to shame you as the transphobic, homophobic, you know, hate-monging bigot, because that's not who you are. And so try to stay cheerful, study some of those apologetic sources, and I think you'll be well-equipped to give a solid answer.
Okay, Sabrina?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, then one last thing, Sabrina. Keep in mind, you're not alone in that environment. There are so many people in that classroom who agree with you 110%, but they're scared to death to open their mouth. Because if they speak up, then they are, it's going to be like the Inquisition against them. I mean, they are just going to be written off as a fanatic. But the vast majority of people are not on board with these things. They just need some courageous voices to speak up for them to find their own voice.
Sabrina, if you'd like it, I'd like to send you a free copy of a book we have here called Made This Way by Trent Horn and Layla Miller. It's about how to answer many of these questions. I would also strongly recommend you or anybody else who's interested in having sharp, clear, charitable answers, get Jason's book, Male, Female, Other? And you get that wherever you get your books. Sabrina, hang on. We'll send you Made This Way. Jason Everett is our guest. Tony is in Miami listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Tony, awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Jason.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for talking about these topics that a lot of people are sort of afraid to talk about. And it's a real issue in the world that we have today. I have a question. So when it comes to like catechists or like teachers in Catholic schools, you know, instead of always being defensive and waiting for something to happen and then reacting, I know you've talked about some tips already, but what are some things that we can do as teachers and catechists to help our students before they get to these situations where they want to transition or where they're sucked in by this cultural vacuum to do all these other things like LGBTQ or gender ideology, all these things like that? What are some things that we can do preventatively to help prepare our kids to be strong when these moments come? You know, obviously prayer and everything else, but is there any other tools that you would recommend that we can get them familiar with or things that we can do with them to better equip them so that if those issues do come up or if they themselves eventually start getting sucked into that mindset, they have where to go and what to do.
All right.
Yeah, you know, the fundamentals.
Yeah, fantastic question. The first thing I'd start off with is in terms of resources for them, there are some great curricula out there. Ascension has a program for high school kids called You, Life, Love, and the Theology of the Body. They also have one for younger kids called Theology of the Body for Teens Middle School Edition. So that's like Theology of the Body stuff for sixth grade through 12th grade. You want to go younger than that, you could look at Ruah Woods, which is R-U-A-H Woods, or Tobet, Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. They have Theology of the Body resources starting for like preschool, kindergarten. Give these kids a solid Catholic anthropology instead of waiting for them to show up for their junior year of high school morality class to be debating with the professor to look blue in the face because they weren't given these foundational principles beforehand. So I would say get some K through 12 Theology of the Body program in place in the parish, in the schools. And then a second thing I would recommend is keeping in mind, this even primary, the parents are the primary sex educators. Not you, not me, not the pastor, not the principal, the parents. And so the schools, the churches should be working with the parents to empower and equip them to be delivering this message at home. Because frankly, sometimes the parents need a chastity talk more than their 15-year-old kid does. And so let's try to evangelize the parents through the kids. And then in terms of staffing on the school or the parish, try to find the employees, and as much as you're in charge of this, from a solid Catholic university, whether it's Franciscan University of Steubenville or Benedictine or Thomas Aquinas or University of Dallas or Christendom, there's so many, University of Mary, there's so many great Catholic colleges out there. And this is not just your theology department. Religion is not a wing of your high school. Those are the classrooms down there. A lot of the students will learn more theology from their theater teacher than they will from their theology teacher. And so we need to make sure that they're receiving a Catholic education in every single subject instead of putting religion in a silo. And so if you've got an administrator that understands what Catholic identity is really about, he's going to want to have faith-filled Catholics in all these different positions on campus. Because if your football coach is a man of prayer, that leaves a serious mark on those boys. I mean, my son's playing high school football right now, and the coach is a prayerful man. And this is a real Catholic education is what it should be. So making sure we're teaching solid content rooted in the theology of the body. We're trying to empower and equip the parents. And then we're picking solid, faith-filled catechists and teachers. And I think if we're hitting it from all these three angles, the kids will be in a much better position to deal with the lies being thrown at them by society.
What do you think, Tony?
I think that's great. And thank you so much for everything you do. You're a well-needed voice in the world today. So thank you so much. God bless you guys.
You're welcome. And if you need, if you can't, if like if you're on a really tight budget, we have a website called missionariesofchastity.com where we will donate free chastity resources anywhere in the world if you need them. We also sell stuff in bulk. If you have a small budget, we make it really cheap that way at chastity.com. But whatever those kids need, let's make sure we work together to get it to them.
Tony, thanks. Thanks very, very much. The number here, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Jason Everett. I do think sometimes the Catholic school teacher or catechist or minister might get tired because this stuff comes at you fast and furious, and it's always got a new angle. Like, you got to be alert and attentive, frankly, to things that you didn't get into the business to be alert and attentive to, but it's just the requirement of the time. How do you not burn out, Jason? You've been doing this a long time. I imagine it must at sometimes feel like a hard battle.
Yeah, well, I think of St. John the 23rd. He would sometimes, the Pope would look out the window to the Vatican at night and say, God, it's your church. I'm going to bed. And he would just go to sleep. And so realize, like, I'm not the Messiah. It's above my pay grade. And so when I do these assemblies and I might give 6 or 7 high school talks in a period of 3 days and university talks, and just you hear these just heartbreaking stories of what these kids have been through and the parents are going through. I just try to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, and I just groan, and I just put all that, I just stuff it all in the tabernacle, just all their names, all their faces, their stories that come to mind. I just give it all back to Him, you know, and I've just known that I've done my little part, and I can continue to pray and fast and do my rosaries afterwards. But God doesn't want us to be burdened by His job description as the Messiah. We just have to play our little role of planting seeds and doing our little part in the work of redemption, and just making sure you're balanced in your life, that you've got fellowship, you've got friends, you've got exercise, you're living a truly balanced life instead of burning yourself out. One priest told me, he said, the most important word you have to learn to be a good apostle is no. No, I won't give that talk. I won't write that endorsement. I won't do that retreat. No, if you don't know those limits, don't know how to discern yes and no, you're going to burn out real fast because you're chasing always after what's good and what's perfect instead of just saying, God, what do you want me to do today? And I'll do that thing.
And then the other thing I think is that a hardship is that so much of this stuff has come into the home. And so you do a lot of work with young people. You do a lot of work with kids. You do a lot of work with young adults. But the challenges to chastity, to just fidelity, to basic kind of charity, I suppose, that those that those things represent, it's in the home now. So you're fighting a battle that is just, it's just ceaseless. It's everywhere. It's like a snake. It's just winding its way into everywhere in people's lives.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard because it's not just the eyes of the stuff they're seeing on their Instagram reel or scrolling through TikTok or whatever. It's what's coming in through their ears. I remember one saint saying that your 5 senses are like 5 majestic entry points to a castle, which is your soul. And if you don't have a guardian at those different doors, then the enemy can just infiltrate and take possession of the fortress. And so, do I have a guard over my eyes? Do you have a guard over my ears? And so as parents, am I just basically handed over a cell phone to a kid and saying, well, just try to be responsible? And I know it's overwhelming because the kids, in terms of the tech, I mean, you might not, as a parent, even know how to open an email attachment. Your kid's like hacking into the Pentagon's website for fun after school. Like, they might be light years ahead of you, but don't give up. You know, try to find good filtering programs that are available online, whether it's Covenant Eyes or the Griffin Router. One thing we like to use is called PluggedIn.com. It's from Focus on the Family. It gives you movie, television, and video game reviews. So you don't have to watch the film to tell your 13-year-old, nope, that's not appropriate. You could even use something called VidAngel, which can allow you to take movies that you might want your kid to see, but you don't want them to see those parts. And you can actually edit out those parts. You can set 34 out of 115 potential filters. You can even filter out jar 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 Binks out of the Star Wars movies.
Oh, and make it so much better.
It'll clip him out of all of them, and you can just watch it seamlessly. And I'm not making it up. It actually has that feature. So, so they've got really good stuff, the tools that are out there. So you don't have to, you know, live in a bunker. You're able to enjoy the good things and weed out the bad stuff.
Jason Everett, it's always such a great privilege and honor to have you here. I'm so grateful that you came. Congratulations on the big pilgrimage that you led to World Youth Day. I'm glad that bishops are making use of your services where you can come in and talk to their people and give them the same charitable answer that's going to maybe save that that moment of panic of I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm just glad all that's happening. I hope people will check out what you do at chastity.com, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Be glad to come on. We've got more pilgrimages coming up. Families are always welcome to come.
Jason Everett's been our guest. I would again highly recommend the new book, Male, Female, Other, Check it out wherever you get your books. That'll do it for us tomorrow. 2 hours of open forum. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.